Okay, today is Wednesday, May 1st. This is the Women's Chumash here. We're up to Vayikra Perek Yudchet and resuming with Pasuk Hey. Okay, Rabotai. We're in the beginning of Parshat Vayera. The beginning of Parshat Vayera. And we are in the midst of Pasuk Hey. There's one phrase, two phrases at the end of this Pasuk that we did not have time to focus on. So let's just catch our bearings. The three individuals come to Avraham. He tells them in Pasuk Dalet, please take a little water. Wash your feet and recline underneath the tree, and I will get some bread. You will eat the bread and be satiated, and then you can go. Achar tavoru ki al kein avartem al avdechem. For this is the reason you came to me in the first place. Ki al kein avartem al avdechem. You have come to your servant. That's me. Avram speaking. I am your servant. That's the reason why you came. So therefore, when I ask you to take bread and take water, I want you to honor my request, for after all, that's the reason why you came. Vayomru, and they said, King Ta'aseh Kasher Dibarta. Okay, Mr. Host, Mrs. Host, do exactly what you said. Which in itself is a very unusual type of response. It is rare that the guest tells the host, after the host says, oh, would you like to come? Yeah, do exactly what you said. Whatever you told us you're going to offer, just do it. Kein ta'aseh kasher dibarta. And it has sparked enormous debate as to what is happening here. So let's take a look, as we always do with Rashi, on the phrase, Ki al kein avartem al avdechem. Ki hadavar hazeh ani mevakesh mikem. I am asking you to fulfill my request to take some bread and some water to wash your feet. Me'achar she'avartem alai lichvodi. That on account of the fact that you came here in my honor. In my honor. What exactly does that mean? What do you mean, you came in my honor? People traveling in the desert, this is not exactly who stopped by. They're not coming in his honor. They're coming to, because they need. They have a need. That's why they show up. So many explain Rashi that for some reason, even though we saw at the beginning of the phrase, at the beginning of Pasuk Bet, that the Shlosha Anashim has two possibilities. Shlosha Anashim was Shlosha Aravim, and Shlosha Anashim is Shlosha Malachim. So one commentary on Rashi suggests that initially, when they appear to Avram, he assumed that these were Aravim. Nothing but that. But then for some reason, we're going to have to try to find something in the text that indicates that, there was a switch in his perspective. And that he suddenly figured out that these are not Shlosha Aravim, but Shlosha Malachim. Now, if you suddenly come to the recognition that they are Shlosha Malachim, tell me now how you can appreciate Rashi's remark. Tell me how you can appreciate Rashi's remark.
Well, it's certainly an honor to be visited by Malachim.
No, but that is good. But the honor is, Avraham said, this is my honor. Why does he now identify their appearance at his door as in his honor? Rabotai, you can say this.
That was his big mitzvah. He just Sharper.
Sharper. Sharper.
It was sent by Hashem.
To do what?
This is number one.
To do number one. What else?
To give him a message.
What else? To heal him. To heal him. To give him the message that his wife is going to have a child.
But he didn't know
that. Okay. But no, once he senses that these are angels, he understands that these angels are carrying messages for him. Exactly. Therefore, he's saying, I know why you guys are here. You're not just, three Arabin passerbys who happen to be hungry or thirsty. I know who you are. And therefore, your entire visit has nothing to do with your needs. They're here to address the issues that I'm confronting. I said 2 seconds ago that you have to find something in the text that would give us a glimpse, a hint, what suddenly tipped off to Avram that these were not Shlosha Anashim, but Shlosha Malachim. I don't know. But I'm just telling you that the comment of some of the commentators on Rashi is, why does Rashi say that Ki al kein avartem al avatem? I know why you have come to visit your servant. I know why. Not because of what you need. It's because of what I need. Therefore, I am now asking you, because I know you've come in my behalf, so please do me a favor and accede to my request. Accede to my request.
If
on my behalf, that's correct. Correct. So, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure what necessarily tipped off Avraham that these are indeed angels of God. I'm not quite sure. I don't know. What? Okay, I don't know. But this commentary suggests that initially he thought they were Aravim. Regular Aravim. And now something clicked. Yeah.
In the Pasuk Bet, it says, Vaisaina Vayar, that he saw. And then it repeats, and after it says that he's Hashem or meets Abib Allah, Vayar again. So maybe that's where, and if you look in the English, either they translate it as he perceived.
Excellent. I like that. I like that. Good. Good. That's very good. That is very good. The fact that it says Vayar twice. So Rashi actually says what you just said. In Rashi, in that Pasuk, Vayar, Rashi asks, Mahu Vayar Vayar Shnei Pa'amim. And he says, the first time, it just means he saw, Vahasheni Lashon Havana. Even though Rashi does not necessarily go the full length and say, you know what? He comprehended who they were. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi just says he understood that they didn't want to, that all Rashi says, he understood that they didn't want to trouble him. Because what did they do when they came to his eyesight? What did they do? They stood there. Mitzavim alav. If somebody's hungry or thirsty and he comes to your doorway, what do you do? You walk into that, you come to the door. You don't stand at a distance and park yourself there. So therefore he understood something was fishy. But it's an excellent suggestion. Boy, you're on a roll. Okay, it's a very good suggestion. Anybody else? Yeah.
Isn't there a parish that says that Avram was very upset because he couldn't perform the mitzvah of the Zorah and the Mekhah for the sent him the three messages so he feel better about it?
Yeah, that's what a Mekhah that says.
Right.
That Avram was troubled and HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated this whole thing. Right. Correct. Okay, but that doesn't tell us when he necessarily figured this out, that these are angels of God. Doesn't say that transition. But that Vayar is a very good point. I like that suggestion. That it's Vayar, Vayar. Good. That's... Yeah?
In Shmuel, when Hashem says that he recognized also what was happening.
Right.
Same word.
Ra'o ra'iti. Yes. That is good. Good. That combination of seeing and seeing is frequently used in the context at the last pasuk of Perek Bet of Sefer Shmot also says, Vayar Elohim et b'nei Yisrael, Vayeda Elohim. So he saw them, he saw their suffering, and he understood. Vayeda. So there are a lot, but it's an excellent suggestion. I like it. I like it. But that's how Rashi, that's how some say Rashi addresses it, and that's what he has in mind. Ki al kein avartem al avdechem. However, take a look at page 3000. CC last night, 3000 strikeouts. That's why the whole packet is in honor of CC. His uniform number, the next one is 52. And he doesn't know what 17 and 3 are? 17, only 17 pitchers in history have struck out 3,000 guys. And only 3 left-handers. That's why. So we got the whole story in this Chumash packet right here. But the announcer spent 2 hours talking about we captured in 20 seconds. Yes. Says on the bottom of page 3000, you have Chizkuni on the right hand side, and Chizkuni says, Ki al kein avartem al avdechem, ki bishvil kach. Shetisa'adu me'at, going to page 52, avartem alai. I know why you have approached my tent. I know why. Because it's not the practice of people traveling in the desert to approach somebody's tent unless what? They're hungry. They need something. She'eino derech ovrei durachim lehit anot. It is not the practice of people who are traveling to engage in fast. So I know what brings you here to me is simply the need to fast, to eat. Ve'achshav chatzi hayom. It's already midday. How does Rashi know? How does Chizkuni know it was midday? Because it says kichom hayom, when the sun is at its zenith, exactly. And Aval ani makir bahem sha'atem tsnuim ubaishanim. I see that you're a little hesitant to actually make a request. I know why you're here. Ki al kein avartem al avdechem. I know what's going on. I know the people in the desert often don't have food and drink. I know that you're hungry. It's already midday. And so therefore, I'm telling you, please fulfill my request, because I know you're very humble, have a lot of humility. Therefore, so that's how Chizkuni interprets, a lot closer to the pshat than Rashi is. That doesn't shock us, but it's radically different than Rashi's, that it's lichvodi, right? A fascinating interpretation is suggested by Or HaChaim on page 17 in his inimitable way, very much in harmony with the style of Or HaChaim, who's into highfalutin Kabbalistic ideas from time to time, and says, Ki al kein avartem, Perush, Kidei shelo yomru, Eich mazminim le'echol, Achar shehikir bohem, Heyotam Mishartei Elyon. Why in the world, if Avram recognized these are angels, what's he telling them that why? That they're about to, I'm inviting you for a meal. He knows darn well that angels don't eat. So what does it mean? Al kein avartem al avdechem. What does that mean? Ki hagam shepirashnu sheyichaven bidvarav el haruchniyot. Even though I really believe that Avraham understood that the angels coming are here only for a spiritual nature, not a physical one, nonetheless, im kol zeh hapshat eino ne'ekar. I can't totally eradicate the simple text itself. And what does the text say? That they're here to eat. So he writes, "Vegam b'ma'achal yesh sodot muflaim." In foods, there are enormous, complicated secrets. Ka'amur tzadik ochel lisova nafsho. A tzaddik eats to satiate his soul, lipnimiyut haruchniyot, to somehow do something to uplift his inner spiritual being. That is accomplished even by eating. And it has a very important, relevant lesson to us, that one of the tasks of mankind is to take all of life's physical, tangible experiences and inject them with an element of spirituality. That's one of our tachliyot, that's one of our purposes. So we create that by food, by reciting a bracha, by eating. Not everything that what comes to our hand do we necessarily eat. Certain foods you have to turn down. You eat in moderation, and so on and so forth. So via the food, one can actually be satiating one's spiritual growth and development as well. Therefore, says Orachayim, even though Avraham came to recognize that these people are angels, and perhaps Avraham knew that right from the outset, not as we suggested earlier that there was a transition. It could be that Avraham knew this right away. Right away. And in which case we can come up with a new read on Pasuk Gimel. A new read on Pasuk Gimel. If you go back to Gimel for a second, Vayomar Adonai. Okay? Rabotai, was only 5 weeks ago. What were the two possibilities of the word Adonai? No, in this case, what are the two possible... My master. So who's he talking to? No. My masters. The three people. Exactly. In which case, this is what's called chol. When the sofer writes the words, aleph dal nun yud, he does not sanctify it, because it's not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alternatively, said Rashi in the name of the Medrash, Adonai means he turned around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, please don't leave. Do not leave. Because I have some business to attend to. And he's speaking, good. In light of what Or Chaim says, we could actually say that Adonai is a reference to whom? To the three angels. But why does he call them my gods and referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why does he? Because he recognizes that they are Malachei Elohim. And angels are described as what? Messengers of God. Vayikra Malach Elohim. We'll learn that at the end of the Parsha, in the Akedah. Who is the one who precluded Avraham from slaughtering Yitzchak? Who is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is Vayikra Elav Malach Elohim in HaShemayim. Right? Don't touch him. So angels, he could be acknowledging deity, knowing full well that they are angels. and he can call them Adonai. You don't have to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is in the middle of a visit, and say, Rabbi Nishan, please hang out, I got something to do. You can say the way the pshat is simple pshat. He's talking to the three people in front of them. Al nasa avar me'al avdecha. Please don't leave me. So why would he call them Adonai? Because an angel is a representative of God and always identified. So even though it's three people, what would the sofer do with this word? He would be mekadesh it. Even if it's referring to the three people. As opposed to Rashi. Rashi said if it's a reference to the three people, you assume the three people are three Arabs. Hence, you would never sanctify the word Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud under those circumstances, because it doesn't have a reference to God. But according to Or HaChaim, we can suggest that he is referring to the three people, but he recognized that they are Malachi Elohim. So using a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, calling them in the name of God, Adonai, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is appropriate way to address these three guys who represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes?
Have you ever used Adonai and Korash to refer to Hashem?
All the time. Sure. Okay, so you want to know where the word Adonai refers to in the Torah and as referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Yeah.
Just give me a couple of minutes, I'll think about it. Okay. Okay, let me think. Okay, yes?
I'm not understanding, so why would this compare the meal? Like the Or HaChaim, is the Or HaChaim saying that when he's comparing them to a tzaddik who elevates?
Who eats?
So is they saying like the quasi human being does eat like a tzaddik?
No. When a tzaddik eats, it's never to satiate his physical hunger pangs. It's done to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, Abraham, recognizing that these are angels, wants to symbolically nourish and satiate their spiritual essence via the medium of food. So
why would he use medium of food?
Because that's a very popular way. That's one of the ways in which we recognize. Okay, so he's emulating that for the angel. There's no other reference for a human being to speak to about godliness other than through what? Through human terminology. So human experience will give us the opportunity to perceive and to comprehend how to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a famous Ramban that before you can appreciate fear of God, you have to have fear of parents and fear of a Rebbe. Once you engage in that type of an experience, you can have an inkling as to what it means to be in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because otherwise, if we don't use human experiences, there's no way for us to concretize and to understand what the Torah is demanding from us. So that's what he says. I'm going to read it. Let me just read the whole thing. Perush kitam lidvari al kain avartem. Perush kain beseder ze bidmus anashim sheyeshnam bimazon hagashmi gam kain. Why have you come to me to show me that there is a way to honor you, to recognize your essence, not only through spiritual recognition, but even through gashmiut. Exactly. That's what you were here to teach me. Exactly. So it's an interesting perspective. Again, a third interpretation as to what Avraham has in mind when he says, Ki al kain avartem al avdechem. Yes?
What possibly would be on his mind is that
Okay. Yes. That would be very nice. Yes. Right after the Brit Milah, you come to the recognition that something very physical impacting on his body is laden with spiritual significance. That's a very good point. Yes.
So once he makes the food for the Malachim, then he has corroborated the Malachim. You don't know.
That is correct. There is no place here that says that anybody ate anything. No place. In fact, I'm going to show you a shocking Rabbeinu Bachya in a second. Shocking. Yeah, I wasn't happy with his remark, but he said it. Nothing I can do about it. Yeah. What? Yeah. Yes, that is true. Yes. Yeah. Now, the text moves on and says their response. Vayomru came to aser ka'asher dibarta. As we pointed out when we read the phrase, it's an unusual type of a phrase for a guest to say to the host, please do exactly what you said. Came to aser ka'asher dibarta. Very unusual phrase. Therefore, it now is subject to a lot of interpretation as to what exactly they had in mind. Take a look at page 3000 on the bottom left, in the name of Svarno. And he says, Kain ta'aseh velo te'acher otanu yoter mizeh. Please do exactly as you said, and don't delay us any further. Ulekach rots, therefore he runs, vayimaher Avraham, the next pasuk. And what does he tell Sarah? Mahari shlosim. Hurry up, because these guys are apparently in a rush. So he takes this pretty literally, and that the response is, Kein taseh kasher dibarta. Yes, please do so and hustle it, because we are in a rush. I'm not sure whether or not that's the best way to resolve that. Yes?
He doesn't listen. He doesn't do what he just said. He does, way more.
Good. That's going to be pointed out by others. That what they had in mind is kasher dibarta, namely abisa levaser unashtikel bright, nothing beyond that. Exactly, and he ignores them. Exactly, we're going to read that in 2 seconds.
If he knows that they're malachi Hashem, you think that, and saying, using language that they are godly, you think he would listen?
Right, that is also true. So, but I would venture to say that Svarno is not operating on the premise that these are Malachi Hashem, and that he's regular people who happen to be in a rush to go someplace, and they said, okay, thank you. And others will say, he told them specifically, do not exaggerate, don't elaborate. You told us water and bread, that's more than enough for us. Kein ta'aseh kasher dibarta. Correct. Yeah. So, in fact, go to now 52, that's how Chizkuni reads it, exactly like you did. 52, on the right-hand side, third line, Kasher Dibarta, third line, everybody have it, page 52 on the right, Chizkuni, Kasher Dibarta, Ma She'amarta, Vo'ekha Pat Lechem, Kilomar, Im Ritzoncha Shinis Odimah, if you want us to dine with you, break bread with you, tachin davar mu'at, just prepare something small. Umikol makom, nonetheless, lo nimna lehachin suda gidola. Avraham did not hesitate to what? To make a big suda. V'chein derech anashim chashuvim, kishikorim lechavereihem leecholimahem. This is the way people do so when they invite their friends. Come over for a little snack. You know what? Just come for a couple of minutes. And then the snack winds up to be this 10-course meal. That's one interpretation. Davar Acher. Second interpretation of Kain Ta'aseh. It was Kain Ta'aseh is like we say Kain Yehi Ratzon. Read it. Yehi Ratzon Shetaspik La'asot Kach Le'olam. That this should be the will of God, that you will have the capacity to act in this fashion every single time you have guests. Kimo sha'ata mitnadev achshav lahachnis orchim, just as you are inviting us as guests, may it be the Lord's will that you have an opportunity to do so many times, to offer just a little tzitzibasin, and then to serve, to offer them an enormous meal. Yeah. Correct, we said that. We mentioned that Mishnah last time. And more Mark, we said that.
Right, but it can also be the opposite, where you're going to an eight of the top performance of a Broadway show, you're going in to try to catch just appetizers at a restaurant because you're hungry, and all of a sudden you're waiting and they're giving you a whole meal and you don't have time. So it could be looked at as a negative also.
How are you interpreting the phrase, Kain Ta'aseh Kasher Dibarta? Just what?
Only make what you said.
Only make what you said, because we don't want any big meals.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way, initially, that's the way it was read. Yes. Yeah. Before I continue, I just want to take this opportunity to dedicate today's shiur to Basha Chaya Blima, Bas Abba Tzvi Verivka, who is Debbie Nachbar's mother. Her yahrzeit is this Friday. And who's somebody who actually loved to learn, used to come to the shir occasionally, and certainly has inspired her daughter to want to learn and continue learning. May our learning be a zechut for her memory. So the that's how he interprets it. However, the Midrash, if you now go to page, for a second, page 3. Al-Kain Avartem Alavdechem. This is Bracious Rabbah, the Medrash, right here. And it says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Miyom Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Olamo, Heyitem Mizumanim Lavo Etzli. Built into creation was that this event is going to happen. Ki Alkein Avartem. Therefore, what? You are now passing by. Why are you now passing by? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed this into creation at the time of the beginning of the world. Heich ma de'omrim yehi chein Hashem imachem. Now that pasuk is written in Parshat Bo. It is offered by Paro when Paro, after the seventh Makkah, Arbe, seems to be weakening a little, and he comes to Mo and he says, Mi v'mi ha'ochim. Who exactly is going on this 3-day cruise to sacrifice to your God? Who's going? So Moshe says, you know, Baneinu v'nosenilech, B'tzrayinu keinu, Ki chag Hashem lana. And what does Paro say? Lochem. Right, lechuna hagvarim. Right, and then he says, "Yehi chein Hashem imachem." May God kasher ashalach eschem ve'estapchem. I am never going to send. Let God be with you. If I'm going to go send you and your children and all the flock, so yehi chein Hashem imachem. Yehi chein Hashem. Kein ta'aseh. What does it mean? Yeah, he's saying, I will never do so. But what did the God say? What did God say when he created the world, in effect, to say? my decision is that they're going to be in Mitzrayim, and then one day, what's going to happen? I'm going to take them out, and nobody's going to be able to challenge it. So here too, I recognize that if you are three angels who are coming to visit me, this must have been programmed already at the time of the arrival of at the beginning of the world. Now, this is a very common theme, and I want to just elaborate for a second on this particular theme. Many struggle with trying to figure out miraculous events that are described in the Torah that are running contrary to nature. Running contrary to nature. So I'll give you one of the great illustrations. We come to Parshat Balak, and our good friend Bilam has a talking donkey. Talking donkey. Now, most of us know donkeys don't talk. So therefore it led, I told you, that the Rambam believes nothing but a dream, because donkeys don't talk. One of the more pronounced explanations is, the Mishnah says it, that the Pi HaChamor was created when?
Bein
HaShmashot. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Avot. But what does that mean? The Pi HaShmashot was created at... So only the mouth. The donkey hasn't been born yet. Right? But the mouth of that donkey was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bein HaShmashot. So the way most people explain that famous midrash is to say, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has programmed this world and set nature into going, nothing can be changed. Donkeys can't talk anymore. Impossible. So what do? When you set up the computer for the natural law to take effect, you put in a cycle that says, there's one exception to the nature that will take place 2 generations or 20 generations from now. That's how many explain Prius Yamsum. Under normal circumstances, waters don't part and stand up and become a wall. That never happens. But if something was programmed as such at the time of creation, once HaKadosh Baruch was creating something, he has the capacity. Of course he has the capacity to change nature. But this theory subscribes to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes nature from once it has been programmed. And that every single unusual event has to be explained moving back to Bein HaShmashot. Something happened, Bein HaShmashot, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to program this. Now, why does this have to be one of those? There's nothing unusual occurring here. No miraculous deed occurring. And it could have been perfectly within the realm of nature that three people were hungry and thirsty and they come to Avram. So it's a little difficult. I don't really have a good handle what is bothering the Midrash that Rabbi Yeshua had to say, Miyom Shibarasi Alomi, this has already been programmed. I don't know. I can't understand it. I'm waiting for you to suggest something. What is compelling the Midrash to make such a statement? Yes.
The creation of the world was to further the planned history of Bnei Israel, then coming to
inform Avram.
Yeah, that he will have a child who will create the first Jewish dynasty is really advancing a lot.
Okay, very nice. It's not so much that they appeared, but rather the essence of their message. Good. Very nice. Good. Another comment of the Midrash found on page 3000A, on the next page. 3000A. Which is another Midrash. And they ask us to compare chapter 19 with chapter 18, which Chazal did regularly. Please open up for a second to chapter 19. And just look at the first three psukim. Read the first three psukim to yourself. And then we'll raise the point of the midrash. State in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Good.
They said the opposite. Nuh-uh.
Vayiftzar bam. Good. What's happening in chapter 19? It's a replay of these angels or people coming in the presence of Lot. And there's a totally different response between the way they react and behave in relationship to Abraham versus the way they behave and react to Lot. And the Midrash notes it. Here they respond, whatever you say, Pop, old man, we'll be happy to do. Very nice. There the Torah says, Vayiftzar in Pasuk Gimel, he invites them to the house, Lot does, as he should, lean in Pasuk Bet, Linu rachatzu ragleichem, v'hishkamtem v'halachem l'darkechem, v'yomru lo, ki barachov nalin. So then they're giving him a very hard time. Vayiftzar bam me'od. He had to what? Badger them. Vayiftzar means to badger. So vayavol beito vayasle mishteh umatzot afu vayochelu. Now, just as a point, I know for a fact that nobody in pasuk bet interprets the word hineina Adonai as referring to God. Everybody there understands that Adonai is Lashon Chol and that he's referring to them as my masters. That's number one. Whereas by Avram, it's a possibility of both possibilities. Number two, now take a look at the Midrash's remark. I bracketed Vayomru Lo Ki Berachov Nalin Mima'anin Likatan V'ein mima'anin ligadol. What does that mean? You can't say no to a gadol. A dignified person. Somebody who's an ordinary citizen, mima'anin, you can say no, I'm not interested, nothing so terrible. Nothing's just a point of observation.
Also, they didn't hunt with Abraham that they ate with loaves.
But
it doesn't say
without
that they ate.
No, but yeah, right. Good. It does say we're going to get to it. It says vayochelu. We'll get to it in a second. Yeah.
No, Avram didn't invite him to sleep.
That's correct.
Sleeping to say no to the sleeping.
That's very possible. That's true. And it goes one step further. Vayiftzar bam meod, hichnis bam af vitzara. What does that mean? Af. What does af mean in this case? Anger. He was not just badgering them, he was angry with them. They were giving him such a hard time that he got pretty angry with them. Again, it doesn't necessarily have to be read that way. So that's another way of looking at Kein Taseh Kasher Dibarta. You know what? You're a big guy, Avram, a significant individual. We recognize your significance. We're not going to give you a hard time. You want to invite us? We'll be happy to. Yes?
I was going
to
say there could be another difference because when they came to Avram, they were coming to give him very good news. When they came to Lot, they weren't giving him the best of news. So with Avram, they had, even though they said they don't want to be late, they still had time to come and hang around because they wanted to sort of enjoy the spirit of the message when Avram heard it. But Lot, they want to hang around because it's not the greatest of messages.
Good. 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 Now go to page 52a, and this is Bachya, Ibn Pekuda. He's a contemporary of the Ramban, often quotes the Ramban, and he writes as follows, Vayomru kein ta'aseh kasher dibarta. Derech musar, this is a way of ethical behavior, Shepat lechem dai. A little bread is all you need. Va'al takriach atzmecha b'dvarim achirim. Don't bother trying to bring out the peanut butter. Plain bread is more than enough. That's all. That's fine. Now look at this. V'yitachen l'faresh kein ta'aseh kasher dibarta. You can perhaps explain the phrase kasher dibarta as shetikach ata pat lechem. You should take the bread. Avalo yochal mimenu. Don't eat from the bread that Sarah is going to prepare for you. Why? Romaz lo le'atid bamesh ira basof be'ugot Sarah shepirsa nida. As Sarah was preparing the bread, apparently she had her period. Even though she had not had her period for years, she was already 90 years old. Just that time, her period resumed, and she was mitame the isa. She spiritually defiled the dough. Now, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to eat it. Of course you're allowed to eat it. However, the holy Avraham was being told, according to Bachya, by these three guys, go get the bread, but don't eat it. That's what it means, kasher dibarta. Exactly what you said. What did you say? Vo'echa paslechem. Now, look at the next two psukim without looking at Bachya and tell me how he proves his point. Look at the next two psukim. I want you to identify his textual proof for his suggestion. Read until Pasuk Chet. Read through Pasuk Chet and tell me how Bachya uses the text to substantiate his theory. Go right ahead.
The lady can say that Hashem himself did. I found it. The other one was, Lucy, you take care of the case because you are, maybe because you're
a little sharp. It's sharper than the Hinnin. How does he know it? That's what he said. Yeah. How does he know?
Because they didn't list bread.
They didn't bring anything. They didn't bring the bread.
Let's
read the text as to what's being offered to the guests. Let's read the psukim. We'll start with Vav. Vayomer Avraham ha'ol el Sarah. Vayomer Maharish shloshim kemachsol lushi vasiyu got. Good. So she's now baking away. Ve'el habakar ratz Avraham. Vayikach ben bakar rachvato vayten al anar vayimaher la'asot otom. Now the meal is ready. Vayikach chema v'chalav uben habakar asher asa vayiten lifnehem. No bread. No bread. But put the butter on the meat. Of course. I'm just telling you what Bachya is saying. Telling you what Bachya is saying. Says Bachya, that's his next comment. It never says any place in the text. Obviously, it's not correct. What are you suggesting? According to the Pshat. There's no doubt that they ate the bread too, without the Torah saying it. But he is reading the line meticulously. Then they get whatever they had. So why didn't they bring the bread? Because since they were holy angels, or even the holy Avram, he would not eat ma'achalot timeim, foods that had become tamei. Now this is a category in the Gemara. So Karnakar, it's the Gemara and Chulin and the Afet Amudet that has a lengthy discussion. It is called, here is the title. So when you go into a Grand and Essex, you should know about it. It's called Chulin Shina'asu Al Taharat HaKodesh. Chulin Shina'asu, ordinary food, Chol food, Shina'asu which have been prepared, al taharat hakodesh, as if they were looking to prepare holy foods. Give me a couple of illustrations of holy foods. Holy foods, come on. What? Mas truma. What else? What else? What? I mean, in the Chumash, what are holy foods? True. No. Korbanot. Korbanot are holy foods. And indeed, a Kohen who has the food, the truma that you and I gave him, and it became Tameh, whatever reason, it was in the same room as a deceased. Somebody died, and the Kohen had his food there. He's not allowed to eat that food. He's not allowed to. Any kachin, korbanot, that become tameh in, a kohen for a kachin kachin, korban chatas, korban mincha, korban asham, he's not allowed to eat. The meat has to be burnt. Same thing for you and me who are eating kachin kalim, a korban shlomim, a korban toda, the korban pesach is an illustration. It becomes tameh, you're not allowed to eat the meat. So there are people who wanted to train themselves. How? How did they want to train themselves? To eat only, even though it was chulin, ordinary secular food, they treated it with the level of kiddushah and tahara that is reserved for korbanot. To make sure that we're always having in mind, should I be eating something that requires these guidelines, I will remember it. We all do that every time we wash our hands for eating bread. There's no requirement to wash your hands. There's no reason to wash your hands when you're eating bread. But if a Kohen eats truma and he touched something that may have been tameh, he's not allowed to eat his truma. So Shlomo HaMelech said, I want to create an awareness for all of the Kohanim. So he told your chaver, before you eat bread, you wash your hands. That'll be a signal to every Kohen, you know what? I better have my hands clean. I better be careful with the item that I'm about to eat. So it's called Chulin Shina'asu Al Taharat HaKodesh. So Avraham, says Bachya, is the type of person who he imagines that he is going to be eating his bread al taharat hakodesh. If Sarah, don't forget, she's going to have a baby in a year from now.
This is a big grandness
in him.
She becomes a Nita. Yes.
Of course, that's the signal that that God biologically reversed her clock and said, oh, I'm going to have a baby. That is correct. Exactly. In fact, that was the whole puzzling remark that she said. You think a woman who is already post-menopause is now going to have a baby? It's humanly impossible. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed that too. So the whole purpose is, and therefore, he says, Avraham never ate the bread. So, Kein Taseh Kasher Dibarta. What's the emphasis of Bakya? Va'ekha. You said Va'ekha. You never said that we should eat the bread. I want you to do exactly what you did. Go to Sarah, ask her to bake it, but don't just bring it out and chuck it in the garbage. Exactly.
It's nice. Right. Yes.
I didn't say it's nice. Burn it, that's all.
Just yeah. Very strategic yeah. That you decided to do this 5 minutes before the class ends, to a class filled with...
Of course. Of course.
That's sort of a follow-up, no problem.
What? Okay, no, so that's why the Medrash was... They first ate the chema first. On a cracker, I don't know what. They ate the chema first. And then they waited the half hour, they rinsed out their mouth, and yeah, that's all. Yes, question, yeah.
Why did Avraham ask Sarah to make the bread? Maharidi, go make the bread. Why?
He, at the time, we didn't know. This is Remez al-He'atid. It is a signal that what's going to happen to her sometime a little later. But right now it didn't necessarily happen. All right, we'll stop here, Rabotai, and continue next Devach. Yes, excellent. Thank you.
Not only that,
thank you.
We learned that Chamatz is under Hashem's name, and the pasuk in Yutet that
it's a patach. Correct. Amen. Excellent. What's that? Yud Gimel. Perik. What's that? Perik. Dalit. Dalit Yud Gimel. Dalit Yud Gimel. Thank you.
What's down?
That's it. And there are others as well. There are others as well.
Yes. Progressing very slowly.
Okay.
But progressing.
It takes time when you're 102 to progress. That's unbelievable.
Sharper than mine.
It's unbelievable. I went to pay a shiva call by a person of Cheryl who lost a brother. So two brothers are sitting shiva here, and their mother was sitting there. And Cheryl was very close with her. She had no idea who she was, and she kept referring to one of her sons as her husband. He was so, so beautiful.
There's a man across the hall from my mother. He's in his 70s. He has a son who lives in Berkeley. He screams for his wife all night. When she's with him, he's coming.
There's a guy in the shul who's 61. He came to me and said, my doctor already diagnosed that I have the beginnings of Alzheimer's. At 61.
Why would somebody want that diagnosis?
Because he just couldn't understand. He was forgetting things. He couldn't remember a lot of things. He said, what's going on? He thought it was something. It was a tumor or something. You know, you never know. Suddenly your mind's going.
So frightening, I'm telling you, it's so depressing being in that place. I go every day. It's so depressing. I like to be alone with my mother with the door closed so that everybody's in a wheelchair. The good ones are walking. But people have fits in the hall, screaming, and the nurses have to try to calm them. It's so frightening because you say to yourself, that could be me. Who knows? Anyway, I'm still thinking. So,
yes.
So I wanted to say that when it says,